From Unbound Gravel in Emporia, Kansas, welcome to the GCN Show.
Welcome to the GCN Show.
Coming up this week, we have found the latest thing to ruin gravel racing after Unbound at the weekend.
Plus, not just one, but four new bikes spotted at the Critérium du Dauphiné, a new cycling book, a new cycling movie, and a new cycling jersey from us.
All the news, basically.
I see what you did there. This week in the world of cycling, we learned that ex-pro footballer Eden Hazard is into his cycling. He hit the slopes of Mont Ventoux at the weekend in Intermarché kit.
Yeah, his post on Instagram has already received 160,000 likes. So thank you for bringing some positive attention to our great sport, Eden, who is no doubt watching this.
I expect so.
Yeah, we also learned that SRAM have got a 13-speed gravel group set up their sleeves. It was spotted on a number of bikes at Unbound on Saturday, including Keegan Svensson's, pictures of which he had posted to his Instagram.
It shows a brand new rear derailleur and cassette, both of which take some tech from their mountain bike transmission, but it's combined with the latest SRAM red shifters. No official details yet from SRAM, but we can't wait to learn more.
That's right. Now, sticking with Unbound, we learned that Lachlan Morton not only won the men's event, but did so in record time, 9 hours and 11 minutes, which is an average speed of just under 35k an hour, or 22 miles per hour.
And that was despite taking a wrong turn, wasn't it? About halfway through the race, which left him basically chasing to catch up the group he'd only just attacked.
Yeah, his secrets, you ask? Well, that POC aero helmet, plus visor, and a Rafa skin suit with an inbuilt aero bladder for hydration that they're calling a Blaero.
A Blaero?
Oh, yeah.
Marginal gravel gains. It certainly seems like anyone that wants to get a decent result at what is undoubtedly the most prestigious gravel race in the world is having to pull out all the stops, really, aren't they, when it comes to equipment selection. And I think it's a natural progression that we've talked about quite extensively on this show over the past few years, haven't we?
That's right. So as much as people might want to keep the spirit of gravel intact, whatever that was in the first place, increasingly higher stakes automatically lead to increasingly higher levels of professionalism. A search for speed and, dare I say, ruthlessness, maybe?
You can say ruthlessness, yeah. That might be through equipment, hydration, or it could be through tactics, couldn't
Indeed,
it?
Yeah.
But that's part of the reason why Morton was such a popular winner of the event. So he turned his back on the world tour a few years back because he didn't want to stick with what he saw as the monotonous life of a pro roadie. Train, race, recover, repeat.
Yeah, Morton actually said in his post-race interview that he did this in his own style, as in training for it, and he stayed true to the way he likes to ride, i.e. with a lot of adventure rides and just generally enjoying himself on the bike rather than intervals and specific workouts.
Which sounds nice.
Well, it does
really, doesn't
sound
it?
Nice, yeah, except
we did
then
some investigating.
We did some snooping, yeah, on Strava, so not particularly difficult to snoop. We saw that he's been doing 30-hour weeks.
Back to back.
Back to back. Now, he might like doing 30-hour weeks back to back, and that's fine. But there were days in there where he said he was equipment testing.
Professional.
Sounds quite serious, doesn't it? And there was also some intervals that had clearly been laid out by a coach.
Sounds quite specific.
Well, it does, doesn't it? And then when we said this next to Connor, he said that, oh, yeah, an old teammate of mine coaches him.
Dennis Van Winden.
There yes. you go, yeah.
Now, that's the spirit of gravel right there, though, isn't it?
It is, isn't
Interval
it,
was an equipment tester.
Yeah, also, make it seem like you don't give a shit when secretly you're busting your ass.
Yeah. You do wonder whether sort of no happy-go-lucky approach, like I call it, will ever be enough to win in the future. Because there are more and more full-time riders competing at Unbound every year, and almost all of the experienced riders of that event are talking about how much the level has gone up since they first raced it.
I think that's what old people always moan about, though, isn't it? They're doing it on the road too, aren't they?
Yeah.
But no, seriously, it's got to be said. Also, great to see that in the women's event, it was actually a full-time PhD student who took the win. Rosa Closer took a surprise victory. She's not a particularly big name in the sport, or at least she wasn't until Saturday, and that's understandable, really, given that she only took up cycling 2.5 years ago.
That's quite something to go from nothing 2.5 years ago to winning the biggest gravel event in the world, isn't it?
I know. It's quite frustrating in a way, yes, isn't it? I mean, like that level of talent.
Yeah. We took many, many more years to be lot worse, didn't we?
Basically, yeah. Now, I was actually watching the Instagram live, yeah, of the finale of the women's race. And what really interested me was reading the comments, okay, over the last 10K or so. Do you know what a lot of people seem to think is ruining gravel now, judging from their Instagram reel?
X-Pros?
Nope.
Aero equipment?
Nope.
Is it the hydration bladders built into skin suits?
Surprisingly, no.
Crikey. Is it tarmac?
Well, I mean, that would definitely ruin gravel, I guess, but no.
I'm going to give up. What is ruining gravel?
Europeans.
As in just European cyclists?
Well, yeah, apparently. So according to the comments, all the Euros were just sitting on the back. The Euros are just sitting on, and not doing work, whilst all of the North Americans were tirelessly, selflessly doing all the work on the front.
Crikey. But dirty faces, should I say, win races.
That's right, except perhaps the spirit of gravel is to win clean-faced.
Right.
You know? So don't be a sit-on sprinter. Although, I think, it was quite blurry and also a bit pixelated, the feed I was watching. I'm pretty sure Rosa Closer was the one dragging everyone along for the last.
Did a lot of work, did she?
Well, it looked like it.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know who she was until I watched the finish. But like,
anyway. It's all well and good, though, isn't it? Doing your fair share on the front and having a cleaner face. But winning's better, surely.
Well, you're told that winning is better.
Yes, I would imagine that winning is a better feeling than doing your fair share of work.
Me too.
But seriously, the only thing ruining gravel are the people doing it, surely. It's surely only a matter of time before there are bigger teams with dedicated domestiques to do that riding on the front, that work on the front anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right, actually, isn't it? The people ruining gravel are, like you say, the people doing it, because that's the spirit of gravel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does feel like it will be the next step, I think, doesn't it? Having big teams that are well-organised with sacrificial riders. To a degree, that is already happening, isn't it? World gravel champ Matej Mohoric turned up with two of his Bahrain Merida teammates, didn't he?
Yes, and what happened to them, I hear you ask? Well, they turned up in Kansas and immediately ordered new wider tyres because they hadn't realised what they were racing on, apparently.
And then what happened, Dan?
And then they still all pulled out after 100 miles, having punctured multiple times and cracking a rim, saying, "We're going to stick to road racing."
Top marks to Matej Mohoric for humility and honesty, I think, there. Perhaps Unbound is not quite as easy as we thought it might be for roadies. No. But still, like you, my money is on domestiques next year.
Already next year.
Yeah, and ever bigger groups contesting the finish.
Well, it wasn't a small group that contested the win in the women's race.
No, that's true,
I think it
yeah.
was a group of about 9 that fought it out for the win there.
Yeah, unfortunately, we didn't get to see much of that sprint because the feed that I was watching cut out.
Oh, yes, told me, yeah.
With about 500 metres to go.
Do you know whose fault it was that it cut out?
The Europeans, I think.
Well, you stole my joke. I was going to say that.
You know, actually, I don't think that any of the stuff that we've been talking about ruins gravel racing at all. I do think, though, that some of the big favourites, like Keegan Svensson, might need to think about having more team support. In order to not get marked out of the race, which sounded like it happened to him this year. But equally, that takes absolutely nothing away from Lachlan or second place Chad Hager, who were clearly super strong as well as super smart.
Which has got to come into it, surely.
Absolutely, yeah. It's just an evolution. I think it's really exciting.
Just before we move on, I'm going to let you know what ruined Unbound gravel for me. You want to guess?
Europeans?
No.
Okay.
No, the thing that ruined it for me, champagne sprayers. I mean, whose idea was it to spray the winning riders with champagne as they crossed the finish line? I mean, it made the finish line photos look shocking. And I thought, it's the last thing you're going to want after racing for 9 or 10 hours on the bike.
Yeah, you have changed, mate.
I rarely sprayed alcohol on my face. So I don't think I'd like that.
No, I know that you would. You'd be like, what a waste! Stop it!
Let me open my mouth!
It's time to move on, I think. Although we should actually ask you for your comments. I mean, how many of you were watching Unbound or staying tuned for updates and so forth? And was it a great addition? Because I kind of think it was, actually, even though it was tactical and nuanced and everything else.
I don't mind the fact that it moves on each year and changes a little bit.
Yeah.
Because riders are forced to adapt then, aren't they?
That's it. And we can kind of poke fun at people with ridiculously long aero socks or, like, effectively racing disc wheels or 12-centimetre wide handlebars or TT helmets. Because it's different, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I enjoyed it anyway.
Yeah, me too. Right, we were going to move on, weren't we?
We were.
Yeah, we have just launched the third jersey in our Ahu GCN Edition series. And this time, we've turned up the heat.
We have.
Yeah.
It's like a ray of sunshine embodied in a cycling jersey.
This is that time, Hank, isn't it? You mean?
Well, yeah, kind of, no, but the colours of the jersey the colours, as well. Yeah. Now, a reminder that we'll be releasing a new one sort of every month or so, and they are all limited edition. So when they're gone, they are gone.
And they are literally gone. Editions 1 and 2.
They have sold out.
Are gone. So head over to shop.globalcyclingnetwork.com sooner rather than later if you would like to get your hands on one.
Also, we've got to say a big thank you, haven't we, to our headwear partners.
Headwear? You mean helmet?
Helmet partners, Met, who've just delivered us these GCN branded helmets.
That is cool.
I'm a big fan of.
That is very cool. Now, unfortunately, these, we believe, are not available in the shop. But we will be wearing them with pride in our future videos.
Yeah, this is my own personal one. Had my name on the bag, but it hasn't got my name on the helmet. And there are no tufts yet.
Will you get a tuft?
No.
I was going to say, yeah, I'll get a bit of tufty.
Do you?
Yeah, just without the... Without
the power.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And now it's time for cycling shorts.
Cycling shorts now, and we will start with an update on the bike path that got closed on my commute to work, despite pedestrians and cars still being able to use the same stretch.
Well done, Si. Starting our new section with globally significant events there.
Well, someone might be interested. For those... two of you. It got reopened to bikes, you'll be pleased to hear. Yeah, soon after we mentioned it on the show, actually. But there has recently been another development.
Go on, we're all on tenterhooks
here. Well, yeah, okay. So a new sign has popped up, right? It looks like a collaboration between the local council and the construction company, who seem to be in control of my bike path.
Right.
Yeah. The sign is aimed at the cycling community.
How do you know that?
Because it says so at the top. Yeah, just before it says, your safety is important to us, which is nice, okay? But it's on a sign which also invites cyclists to come and experience a truck driver's view of the road, cyclist education.
Is there something wrong with that?
Well, on the face of it, nothing. It's probably a really good idea for cyclists to be reminded of how restricted visibility in trucks and lorries can be. In fact, we've got a video of it. Exactly that, in the GCN archives, where Matt was allowed to drive a truck. But anyway, in this case, I genuinely can't help that it feels like it's shifting the emphasis of safety from driver to cyclist, i.e. we can't see you, so just get out of the way. Do you know what I mean?
I do know exactly what you mean. If you're being cynical, it does look like a bit of victim blaming.
It doesn't.
But equally, I'm not sure what else the construction company can do in that instance, other than perhaps to advertise that they are educating their truck drivers by sticking them on bikes. We've seen videos like that in the past.
Yeah, that would be good, wouldn't it? Start by educating their drivers. I mean, maybe they do. Some companies do already do that, don't they?
They do. Anyway, they'd get some positive PR out of that as well.
They would indeed,
I'm going to move on to something outside of Bristol, if that's all right, from one piece of very local news to another. This time, though, in Malibu, California.
Slightly more glamorous.
Just perhaps. slightly more glamorous.
Yeah, right.
The Pacific Coast Highway, which runs through Malibu, is a famously beautiful and almost famously dangerous road. And locals are campaigning to try and make it safer. One such campaigner is gallery owner Tracy Park, who ran an event to raise awareness where locals would receive free T-shirts designed by two Malibu artists, they being Hunter Blaze Pearson and Alyssa Crosby.
Now, I love this, right? The shirts, for a start, actually look properly cool.
Yeah.
Like, I would wear that. I mean, because, and I am cool, clear. But genuinely, I think it looks really cool.
Might be getting close to cool with one of those on.
But I also think that's a great initiative. Like, what a cool way to raise awareness.
Yeah.
And hopefully, they get the speed cameras that they are after so that drivers do indeed STFD, which is what it says on the T-shirt.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I've got it.
Yeah.
Moving on, there's been an avalanche of new tech spotted recently, mainly at the Critérium de Dauphiné, hasn't it? But also at Unbound. We mentioned the SRAM already, but F1 driver Valtteri Bottas was first to be seen on what looks like a new Canyon Air Road, and that was whilst he was at the Monaco Grand Prix.
Yeah, that's kind of a bit classier than the Critérium de Dauphiné, isn't it? I like that. Although Movistar have now got what looks to be the same bike as well.
Just in a different area.
Yes, exactly. Meanwhile, Trek have got a new unreleased bike as well. Not even remotely hidden, because Mats Pedersen won the first stage of the Critérium de Dauphiné on that very bike.
Intriguingly, it's got both Madon and Imonda written on it, hasn't it?
Yeah.
On top of each other, which leads us to deduce that it's probably either a super light Madon or a super aero Imonda.
Yeah, or both. In which case, it needs a new name.
It does. Now, given that Trek have only used the letters A, D, E, M, and N and O on their road bike names for the last 15 years or so, I've taken the liberty of having a stab at what it might be called.
Go on, mate.
O, Dan, Me.
Oh, nice. Mm. O, Dan, what's your new bike? O, Dan.
Or Dan, Meow.
Yeah, or Emo Dan, actually.
It might not surprise you to hear, I've never been emo.
Have you not?
I've never been emo.
No, well, I think we'd all like to see Emo Dan, wouldn't we? Anyway, meanwhile, Road CC have spotted what looks to be a new Pinarello Dogma. Like the new Trek, it maintains its very distinctive aesthetic, so it's every inch the Pinarello, which I think is a very good thing.
Me too.
It looks great.
It doesn't stop there either, though. More new tech. Willia look like I've got a new bike as well. Unlike the other three, this one looks to be a lightweight bike, though.
Yeah, all will no doubt be revealed soon. The GCN web team were reporting last week that Peter Sagan, remember him? Three-time world champ, seven-time green jersey winner at the Tour. He'd swapped to racing cross-country mountain bikes for this, his final season. But unfortunately, his fairy tale ending of competing in the Paris Olympics can no longer come true as he's failed to qualify a place.
Real shame, that.
It is, isn't it?
Go out in that way.
It's a bit of a fizzle.
It is, yeah. Or maybe he'll go to Unbound next year. You never know.
I cannot imagine him doing a 200-mile gravel race. But, I mean, if he did get to the final in a group of nine, I mean, my money would be on Sagan.
He just needs to take some domestiques. Make sure it's a sprint out of 40.
That would help. Yeah, that would absolutely help. Now, two new cycling media releases to shout about next.
The first is a book from ex-pro rider Mitch Docker, which has been written by EF Sports director Tom Southern.
Yeah.
Life in the Peloton is written as a guide to being a pro, from landing your first contract right through to navigating through a bunch.
Yeah, it is cracking insight, actually. Many of you will know Mitch, either from his racing or from his podcast as well. I've got to say, I really enjoyed it. Mitch is a cool guy who's done a lot in his career, and Southern writes really well. It's available directly from clothing brand MAP, if you're interested.
And then the second release, it's a new movie with cycling at its core. Hard Miles tells the story of a prison social worker who gets a team of teenage convicts onto bikes for a 1,000-mile ride.
A kind of make or break kind of ride, you might think. Sort of thing that Hank might sign up for. Actually, genuinely, I'm really looking forward to watching it. It's in like proper cinemas.
Is it?
Yeah, oh yeah, it's like a proper release. IMDb has it at 7 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes has it at 88%.
Crikey, close to 9 out of 10.
There you go, yeah.
There was unfortunately another bike industry casualty that was announced last week. A brand called Mersin Cycles, who many of you will not know, but who were a historic British company that had been making bikes for 78 years, from their hometown of Derby up in the Midlands.
Yeah, and then in other very sad news, Basketball Hall of Famer turned pundit and absolute bike obsessive Bill Walton sadly passed away following a long battle with cancer.
After his basketball career, he became, according to the Wall Street Journal, one of America's best known and most beloved bike riders.
My bike is my medicine, he said. I'm always sick of something or somebody, and I know that when I go out on my bike makes me happy.
Quite the quote, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Bill. Hack. /bodge of the week now. We've got one of my favourite hacks since Day Dot coming up a little bit later on.
Really?
I absolutely love it.
I'm intrigued.
Anyway, first up, nothing to sort of criticise this one that's first coming in this week. Hallas Samuel Zero, 3D printed myself a stupid food feeder, feeding like a hamster now when riding. 3D modelled and printed myself a simple fuel feeder for my Canyon. Did this mostly for the lulz and because I wanted to try designing something unique for my bike, but ended up really liking it solely for the reason that seeing the food reminds me to actually refuel during a long ride. I switched the nuts to Haribos and other simple cars, which works way better for my gut than most liquid gels.
Well, there you go. So for those of you listening, as opposed to watching, it's basically a top tube bag that has been 3D printed. So it's not fabric, it's made out of plastic. And then there's a hole cut out at one end where you pick the food out of, presumably.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine that Samuel rides on very smooth tarmac, because I suspect as soon as you hit a bump, your Haribo or your nuts are going to be flying out of your food feeder. But, I mean, full respect for someone who 3D prints stuff for lols.
Well, it looks neat, doesn't it?
It does,
I like the fact that the stack height is about the same as his stem, and it's exactly the same colour as well. But I think quite limited as to what types of food you could... I think you are stuck with either nuts or Haribo.
I know, and also, like, how are you going to make sure that every last bit comes out, I suspect?
You have to do a wheelie.
Well, this is it, yeah. Or just got really steep climbs, because otherwise you're going to be ferreting around in there, like, trying to find the last Haribo.
Even in the winter, Rolos I can't see working in there, because it's about the same size hole as a Rolo, isn't it? You'd be really frustrated sort of trying to get it out of the top bag.
Since when have you had a Rolo on his ride
for? I'm just trying to think of what else you could put in there.
I mean, it would be good for morale, wouldn't it?
Round trees, fruit pastels.
Sucking on a Rolo. Yeah, I mean, I like it. It's just as a 3D printed top tube bag, I think it's great. I think the whole bit, perhaps, it's just I'm not feeling quite so much. But I'm going to give it a hack.
Yeah, I guess you have to for 3D printers, couldn't you?
Well, you can always plug the hole. Presumably it opens another way.
Do what just have a useless like a... bag on your top tube?
No, I mean, if you can get into it... I don't know how you can get into it. Maybe that's solid.
It looks quite solid.
Oh, Jesus, that is literally the only way to get stuff in and out. Oh, that's a bodge then, isn't it? Yeah, bodge. Moving on, next. Cycle Chantal sent this. Right, 3D, DIY bike gear storage. In less than a week, I'm going to ride outdoors to raise money for cancer research. I've lost a lot of family members to cancer. I'm really sorry to hear that. So to get emotionally ready for the event and to honour my granddad, who loved building things, I built these nice storage units to hang on the wall, made from the wood my granddad used to build with. That's so super cool, isn't it?
That's fantastic, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. So, beautiful looking storage solutions for helmets, shoes, glasses. What else we got on there? GoPro.
I mean, even if it weren't for that sort of this background story, I'd already be saying hack for this.
I think I would as well.
You know, like neat storage solutions.
Absolutely, mate, yeah.
Putting your bike gear into one place.
I seem to remember you got excited about 3D printed coat hangers to hang your bib shorts up, didn't you?
I probably did.
Yeah.
I probably did. Anyway, that's a definite hack from me.
Yeah,
particularly me too. When the backstory is put in there as well.
Yeah.
Kaluski, I don't know how you pronounce that, duct tape tyre patch. During my 14-mile ride to work, got a nasty puncture that gashed the tyre. Replaced the tube and limped to the office, but I knew it was risky to ride back home at the end of the day. Without another tyre on hand, I decided to use duct tape to protect the exposed inner tube. I rode home the 14 miles and it held up the whole way.
There you go. That's pretty neat, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is a nasty gash.
It is.
It's a really nasty gash, isn't it? Like, there's no fixing that, is there? Well, yeah.
It's an oldie but a goodie, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Yeah, I'll give that a hack.
You've got a £50 note to hand, just use some gaffer tape.
I'd be using gaffer tape over 50 quid now, definitely. Right then,
we go. Almost need a drum roll for this one.
This is your favourite ever hack?
Favourite one.
Or bodge. I'll be the judge of that. Gina Mallory, my next weekend project. I found this, I can't wait to give it a go. For context, it is a garden gate with a hole cut in it that's been filled with a wheel.
A spokes wheel, yes.
And actually, that looks really quite cool. And I particularly like the confused-looking dog on the other side.
He looks like he thinks he should be able to get through this gap, but can't.
That's it, yeah. He just looks like he's eyeballing through the hub there.
I have thought of one potential downside to this. I can imagine like a blackbird thinking he can fly through there and getting quite injured on the spokes.
Well, you think so?
Well, Anyway, I still think it's one of the best sort of cycling hack designs I've ever seen. I've never seen anything like that before to start with, and I think it's a thing of beauty.
I think it's really cool. I have no idea how you go about building such a thing, but I'm sure...
Well, that goes for most of the hacks and bodies we get sent in, doesn't it?
Yeah, good point. I'm sure someone with a modicum of carpentry skills can make their own garden gate with a wheel in the middle, but yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
No, I think that's very cool.
Well, if you, Gina... do get around to doing one yourself, please send us a photo in. We'd love to see how it looks.
Yeah, absolutely. It's honestly your favourite ever hack or what?
I really like the dog, don't you? I think the dog adds to it. Yeah, I mean, I do like dogs. But I just think that's such a cool design of a side gate.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I wouldn't say it's my favourite. I can't remember what is.
No.
But no, I like that.
But it's not that.
Well, you know, just it's a big shout, isn't it? I might put it in my top five.
That is still quite a big shout, isn't it?
It is a big shout.
From 11 years worth of...
I can't, for the life of me, remember what 1-4 would be. But anyway, there we go. Right. Let us know what you think in the comments. And keep uploading your hacks and bodges as well. To think, after 595 shows, Dan's finally found his favourite hack.
Could take another 600 to get my next one. You never know. Yeah, please send them in. upload.globalcyclingnetwork.com.
It's caption competition time now, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you got to do is put a witty caption in the comment section down below that relates to a photo we will give you in just 1 second. But as always, it's results first.
It is. This was the photo we gave you last week. It is Tadej Pogačar with a couple of his teammates, Rafał Majka amongst them, at the end of the Giro d'Italia in Rome last Sunday. And our winner is Liam8992, put... good effort, Rafa, but still need to work on the tuft.
Ah, there you go. He does have a serious tuft, doesn't he? It's incredible.
Even on aero helmets, pretty much.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it didn't come out of his time trial helmet.
I wonder why no one made any comments about the fact that the UAE celebratory Giro kit was exactly the same as T-Mobile.
About 1,000 people made comments on that.
Oh, did they?
I was bombarded by them on that Sunday. It did look remarkably similar. Double take when I first turned coverage on that day.
Yeah, cool though. Very cool. All right, well done, Liam. Get in touch and we will get your Camelback podium bottle out to you. Right then, for all of those people that didn't win, this is the photo for you to get stuck into this week.
It is Jonas Abrahamsen of Uno X celebrating his first ever pro win on the podium of the Brussels Cycling Classic. Sipping on a bottle of Lidl champagne with a GoPro attached to the top. I'm going to get you started as ever. Jonas Abrahamsen didn't hesitate when asked to GoPro drinking.
GoPro drinking?
Yeah.
See what you did there, mate. That's good, actually, isn't it?
Well, I'm happy with that.
I think you should be happy with that. Yeah.
I feel like I can rest on my laurels for a good month now.
Yeah, I reckon you can. Super cool that he took that win because he's got a great... very interesting, quite inspirational backstory, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. So he started his career trying to be a top GC rider and he weighed 60 kilos. And when that wasn't going to plan, he realised he needed to change direction. So he got a long-term contract with Uno X, which allowed him to gradually put weight on and become more of a classics rider and sprinter, which he's done. He's now 80 kilos, so he's put on a third weight
than
what he was. And that's his first pro win at a big classic in Belgium. So he's going in the right direction.
That is absolutely amazing, isn't it? Because so often in cycling, we're bombarded with stories about like, oh, I lost 4 kilos and then I got my PB up wherever it is or my power to weight improved. But actually, that is cool.
Yeah, it takes some cojones to do that, doesn't it?
I think it does,
yeah. Everyone talks about losing weight. No one's ever, from what I know, deliberately put, especially not that amount of weight on to try and change the type of rider they are. Yeah.
Yeah, no, in fact, yeah. Yeah, unprecedented, but I'd be interested to know how many other people would benefit from doing the same thing.
It would be interesting to know. I mean, I had thought maybe I could have got better results had I...
Well, I mean, you've been trying to put bulk on, haven't you, for the last...
Yeah, and failed. I'm still the same weight. But I think I've converted pretty much every ounce of fat into muscle.
Oh, really?
That's what's going on in my own head, anyway.
There we go. Okay, cool. All right, we'll get stuck in the comment section. And, we'll look forward to reading out a winner next week.
We're going to rattle through quite a few comments from last week's videos before we tell you what's coming up on GCN this week, because there were a lot of crackers.
Oh, yeah.
Starting underneath last week's show, Zob4 put, top tube mounted portable speaker should automatically prevent you from getting a hack rating. And I'm in full agreement. I don't need to hear other people's music.
No, I'm in full agreement, except sometimes, like, around town, you know, pretty cosmopolitan kind of place, Bristol, if you didn't know. I sometimes smile when someone rides past with a portable speaker playing something.
Right.
Like, you know, in the right environment,
depends,
I think it's
fine.
Depends
on the music, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Actually, that's a good point. If it was thrash metal, I'd probably
think not, differently. Yeah,
yeah. I would. I was about to say I'd do something, but clearly I wouldn't.
Kenneth Ward wrote in, putting closed roads or highly controlled roads are a huge benefit of organised sportives versus feeling like a real-life version of Frogger in automotive traffic.
That is very true, actually. To get that closed road sensation, you kind of had to ride on closed roads, don't you, basically. Cheese Alarm said, I'm a grumpy solo rider and Audaxer, a very unsportive person, you might think, but I absolutely love Ride London. That's like probably the biggest sportive in the UK, isn't it?
I'd imagine so.
Yeah, a big mass participation event. It gets loads of people in, cyclists and non-cyclists alike. Anyway, Cheese Alarm says, just once a year, it's on my doorstep. Closed roads, riding faster than normal, a fantastic change for a day. Now it's back to being grumpy and unsociable for another 360 days or so.
Yeah. Closed roads are a big one, aren't they? Because you do automatically have a faster average speed because you're not stopping for any junctions or traffic lights or anything else, are you?
That's it, yeah. That is absolutely a thrill, isn't it?
Underneath sodium bicarbonate, the secret performance-enhancing supplements. Lars put, fully agree with Connor's conclusion. I'm one of many amateur cyclists pretending to be a pro. A while ago, I stopped trying things like this because I realised I still have so much to gain from important basics such as proper recovery and nutrition. Only when that is optimised, it starts to make sense to look at the details.
That's right, and a word of warning from Dr. No. I had an unfortunate incident using baking soda. Probably made a mistake when dosing, had a bit too much. The ride wasn't problematic, but after getting home, I got terrible stomach cramps and a sprint or several to the toilet followed.
Well, at least you'd be quicker in a sprint to the toilet.
Yeah, no lactate build-up.
Underneath how to improve your VO2 max, 2 days ago, we had this from Dave Kashuba. I focus on avoiding VO2 training. Ouch.
Wow. You found out, didn't you, Dan, that we should not be avoiding VO2 max.
I did, yes. I haven't managed to bring myself to do a VO2 max session yet. I think they're baked into my own memory of being ridiculously hard. I haven't managed to get my brain in gear to do one yet. I was building up towards it. I had a bit of a cold last week, though, so it sort of set me back.
Cold.
I will do one. I'm not really looking forward to doing one.
No, and I think that feeling only increases as you get older, isn't it? When it just feels a little bit violent. But anyway, yeah. And then underneath, did I qualify for the Gravel World Championships? Loads of really lovely comments, actually. So thank you so much for that. I was indeed... I don't want to spoil it, actually. But anyway, thank you very much for the lovely comments. Darren Smith said, well done. I'm going to have to spoil it, aren't I? Not just for qualifying, but also filming while doing so. It's just monumental. So thank you very much for that. It did actually take me the better part of 45 minutes to get my GoPro out of my pocket because it was so flipping fast to start with.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Bike Tri wrote in as well, saying congratulations, Si.
Oh, thanks.
I hope you do well at the Worlds. But as someone who's nearly 60 and still pinning on numbers, I've learned not to underestimate the age groupers.
No.
The only thing harder to race against than a young guy with good legs and lungs like a horse is an old guy with something to prove.
Yeah. Very true, that.
Meanwhile, under when is a gravel bike not a gravel bike, H3RM353 put flat bar plus gravel bike equals mountain bike. Drop bar plus mountain bike equals gravel bike.
No.
Clear as mud.
I disagree.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I do. And then Metal Possum said blank makes a great duo, similar levels of energy. So that would be Blake and Hank, I think, probably. yes, very similar levels of energy. Lots of high fives, hugs and bros.
I think those two have so much energy, they drain all of mine.
Yeah. I wonder what happened if you left them in a room together.
Like, just
be like a couple of
both
like
passed out.
Yeah, just so you walk in an hour later and they've just like they've just exploded in excitement and like bro-ness.
Like really gone viral on social.
Yeah. whoa, I've got an extra 50,000 followers on Instagram.
Right, coming up on the channel this week then, on Wednesday, it's Blake and Hank in a room together for an hour. No, it's not. It's how to remove and replace your rear wheel. Not the most exciting sounding of videos, but the amount of people that I bump into that say, I need some help getting my rear wheel out.
Yeah.
And even if they can get it out, it is a pain to get it back in if you don't really know how to do it properly.
It is, yeah. So I made this video 10 years ago now, not quite, 9 years ago. It's on 2.5 million views.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is, yeah. And then, but that was quick release only back then.
Okay.
So we're like, well, we need to do one with through axles. So so there you go, yeah. The version 2 of how to replace your rear wheel. Yes.
Thursday, 6 things that Si learned from the Gravel World Series.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, first one, bloody hard.
It's the age group, isn't it?
There you go,
point
yeah.
to prove.
Yeah. Friday, I'm really looking forward to. So when Ollie and Alex went out to New York for the New York Gran Fondo, they also stopped in Boston, just up the road, to a human performance lab from Human Go. And they both got put through their paces, basically, to try and get to the bottom of whether anything separates like a pro cyclist, or ex-pro in Alex's case, versus an elite amateur. So, like, can you physiologically tell the difference between
them? Interesting.
Yeah, I thought that'd be interesting. And then on Saturday, didn't need quite so much in-depth science to find out this one, but cyclist versus CrossFitter, who is fitter? This is me versus one of the gladiators.
Oh, I see.
Steel, yeah. We certainly could tell who had the biggest pecs, quite clearly.
Could you?
Yeah.
Amazing, that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And Sunday, shall I do Sunday as well?
Yeah.
It's an absolute banger. So Connor went out for the Tuscany Trail, the world's biggest bike packing race, and it just looked absolutely incredible. As amazing as you can imagine.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it does. Whether or not he had a similar experience to his Unbound last year, I don't know yet. We haven't caught up with him properly yet.
Surely he's not going to put himself through something like that again.
Well, I don't know. It was 500 kilometres. So that's, what?
I think he probably paced it better.
Well, anyway, yeah.
We'll find out on Sunday, won't we?
Indeed we will. Right, there we go. We've rambled on quite a lot, haven't we?
Yes, yeah, much to the editor's disgust. Thanks for watching. We'll see you again next week.